أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله الذي ليس لأوليته ابتداء ولا لأزليته انقضاء وانحصرت الأوصاف عن كنه معرفته ورضعت عظمته العقول والذي لا تواري عنه سماء سماء ولا أرض أرضا ثم الصلاة والسلام والتحية والإكرام على سيد البطحاء سيد المرسلين والأنبياء أبي القاسم محمد المصطفى وعلى الجوهرة القدسية البتول العذراء سيدة النساء فاطمة الزهراء وعلى بعلها أمير المؤمنين وبنيها الذين أذهب الله عنهم الرجس وطهرهم تطهيرا لا سيما على بقية الله وحجته الكبرى الذي بيمنه رزق الورى وبوجوده ثبتت الأرض والسماء ولولاه لساخت الأرض بأهلها واللعنة الدائمة على أعدائهم أجمعين من حين عداوتهم إلى قيام يوم الدين أما بعد فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى في كتابه الكريم فارتقبوا إني معكم رقيب وانتظروا إني معكم من المنتظرين وقال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم المهدي من ولدي تكون له غيبة إذا ظهر يملأ الأرض قسطا وعدلا كما ملئت ظلما وجورا صلوات It's a great blessing from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to provide us with a leader like Waliyul Asr Al-Hujjat ibn Hassan, Sahib al-Zaman, Al-Imam Al-Mahdi, Ajjalallahu ta'ala farajahu al-Sharif. For whom Imam Sadiq alayhi salatu wasalam has said when he was asked by a companion, Hal wulid al-Qa'im? Is the Imam al-Qa'im, the riser, born yet? And Imam Sadiq alayhi salam replied back, La, no. Wallahi law adraktuhu la khadamtuhu ayama hayati. I swear to Allah, if I had found him, I would have served him throughout my life. So we are blessed to have an imam like him for whom our sixth imam is wishing from Allah that, you know, he says if he would have found, he would have served him throughout his life. Imam alayhi salam is the savior of the entire humankind, the awaited savior of all the faiths and the history of humankind. In my presentation, we have the introduction about that, and the introduction is, I'm going to talk about these four points, inshallah. First of all, why the humanity needs salvation. And second of all, about how the salvation is to be. And third of all, who is the savior? And at the end, inshallah, I'm going to talk about the attributes of a person who's awaiting the imam, awaiter of the imam, the muntazir. So the first thing about, I request if you can please turn off some of these lights at this stage. It will help the audience to look at the presentation better. So, if you, one of the organizers can please turn off the lights at the stage, thank you. So the humanity is going through a spiritual bankruptcy and moral decadence. Morality, the graph of morals is declining, constantly on the decline. Unfortunately, if you just look at the statistics and figures we have about this last century, you find that how many human lives have been extinguished and how many wars have been waged. You know, forget about the rest of the things that are inflicting the humankind. If you just look at the wars that and the casualties that it has caused on the humankind, and you can see these figures right in front of you and the source of that information. So how many humans, according to some estimates, in just in the last century, 175 million. So let's go to the next slide, where we find, in the next slide, we find the sources claim that 203 million human beings have been exterminated in just the last century. Angels said, talked about all that, right? When Allah was announcing in front of the angels, Inni ja'ilun fil ardi khalifatan, I am making on earth a vicegerent, a khalifa. And the angels responded back, تَجْعَلُ فِيهَا مَنْ يُفْسِدُ فِيهَا وَيَسْفِكُ الدِّمَاءُ وَنَحْنُ نُصَبِّحُ بِحَمْدِكَ وَنُقَدِّسُ لَكَ. So, are you going to create someone who is going to shed blood and create mischief? And according to my teacher, Ayatullah Jawadi Amuli Hafadhahu Allah, in his tafsir, Allah did not deny what they were saying, because it's a fact. The humankind is about to create mischief on the face of earth and shed a lot of blood. So Allah did not deny. Allah pointed their attention towards a point that they were missing out. But He did not deny what they said, because angels don't lie. They are infallible. It's a fact that humans are going to shed so much blood. So now, if you look at the animals, the figures say the number of animals, the number of human beings killed by the shark bites is just 1 to 12. And some of the statistics reveal that number of humans killed by the lion attack is 100 people on average per year. So what the animals are doing, what the beasts are doing, what those wild animals are doing is of no comparison whatsoever with what the humans, some of the humans have done and are still engaged in doing that. If you remember the Ash'ar, the beautiful poem that Imam Ar-Ridha alayhi salam recited, you know, which is from Hazrat Abdul Muttalib alayhi salam, actually, you know, Ya'ibun nasu kulluhum zamanan, wa ma li zamanina aibun siwana. Isn't it right? Na'ibu zamanana wal aibu fina, law nataqa zamanu bina hajana. وَإِنَّ الذِّئْبَ يَتْرُكُ لَحْمَ ذِئْبٍ وَيَأْكُلُ بَعْضُنَا بَعْضًا عَيَانًا. That's so true. You know, everyone amongst us is complaining about the times, the situation, the time is so bad, the times have gone so worse. Whereas there's nothing wrong with the times. Times are not bad. What is bad is us, the human beings. Some of us are the ones who are doing those atrocities, not the times. And then it says that if the time could speak up, it would say, لَوْ نَتَقَ الزَّمَانُ بِنَا هَجَانَا. It would ridicule us. Ridicule the human being. What are you talking about? What's wrong with me? It's actually what is wrong is with you, not with us. And then Imam Ridha alayhi salam says that وَإِنَّ الذِّئْبَ يَتْرُكُ لَحْمَ ذِئْبٍ. Certainly a wolf leaves the flesh of a fellow wolf. وَيَأْكُلُ بَعْضُنَا بَعْضًا عَيَانًا. Whereas some of us are consuming some other people like us life. This is the status of human beings. So it is a shame for those human beings who are committing these atrocities. Now, in the next slide, we find, can I please request to turn off the lights so, you know, people can see the slide? Okay, there's fire and instability and chaos and suffering and infrastructure of nations intentionally, on purpose destroyed. You know, all parts, you see, almost all parts which are surrounding the Zionist state, you find there's a fire on all sides. Look at the situation in Yemen, look at the situation in Bahrain, situation in Afghanistan, situation in Iraq, situation in Syria, situation in Pakistan, and an entire region is set on fire. For the cost of the Zionist agenda, the global Zionist lobby, and humanity, specifically the Muslim community, is suffering because they are lobbies that oppose a second Islamic values-based government of justice to get established. They don't want it anymore. One is enough. For them, one is enough. For some of the believers, they don't realize and they don't value the Islamic government. But for the enemies of Islam, one experience is enough to take precautions. So now they are taking every which measure they can to prevent an Islamic government from happening. We are talking about Imam Sahib Zaman al-Salam to come, what? To do what? The Prophet has already prophesied, يَمْلَأُ الْأَرْضَ قِسْطًا وَعَدْلًا. He's going to fill up the earth with justice and fairness. You know, كَمَا مُلِئَتْ ظُلْمًا وَجَوْرًا. The way it would be full with injustice and unfairness. He's going to come to do the job of establishing government of social justice phenomenon of the Holy Quran on the entire planet. Not just one part or one country, entire planet. Whereas some of us are not even ready to digest and accommodate and accept and realize our responsibilities towards one Islamic government. Isn't it right? Constructing a center of $14 million and $12 million and $19 million in such and such place in North America, and putting a ban on all those ulama who talk about Yom al-Quds. You can better open a club. If you are opening an Islamic center to implement your personal take and personal policies, not the policy of Imam Sadiq alayhi salam on the masjid and house of Allah, then that's not called a masjid. Let's be fair. This is your personal opinion club, where you are exercising your policy, not the policy of Ahlul Bayt, because you are banning, you are prohibiting the scholars from talking against the Yazidis of today. So, now let's move to the next slide, where we find, just take the example of Syria alone, 21 million dropping down to 17.5. Look at the extent of chaos and suffering. 250,000 dead and displaced are 6.6 million. And then the refugees all over. The entire nation devastated. Families gone, fathers and mothers removed from the scene. Grandfathers and grandparents eradicated. Civilians, innocents, gone. And still there are some who call it collateral damage and they want to run away with it. Okay, so now why the humanity needs salvation? There are regimes who are some of the most barbaric ones, doing unprecedented crimes, Look at what's going on in Bahrain. A local native is deprived of citizenship. Ayatollah Isa Qasim, hafizahullah wa tawallahu umrahu. Sheikh Salman is imprisoned. So many other innocent people imprisoned in Nigeria, and the chaos which is going on in Iraq, and what is going on in Hijaz, Saudi Arabia, and so on. So the list is very long. And this chaos is part of the global plan, which is planned years back by the neocons, the warmongering lobbies who have planned this long ago about Islam, about Islamic Ummah. So this is just part of that plan. And what's going on in Kashmir and all those troubles that you've, the civilians, we care about civilians. We care about innocent people. Doesn't matter who he is, where he may be. We have such a high moral standard that we support and side by all the innocent people in every corner of the world. Now, please pay attention to this video.
I tried hard to be proud of my service, but all I could feel was shame. And racism could no longer mask the reality of the occupation. These were people, these were human beings. I've since been plagued by guilt anytime I see an elderly man, like the one who couldn't walk, who we rolled onto a stretcher and told the Iraqi police to take him away. I feel guilt anytime I see a mother with her children, like the one who cried hysterically and screamed that we are worse than Saddam as we forced her from her home. I feel guilt anytime I see a young girl, like the one I grabbed by the arm and dragged into the street. We were told we were fighting terrorists. The real terrorist was me, and the real terrorism is this occupation. Racism within the military has long been an important tool to justify the destruction and occupation of another country. It has long been used to justify the killing, subjugation, and torture of another people. Racism is a vital weapon employed by this government. It is more important weapon than a rifle, a tank, a bomber, or a battleship. It is more destructive than an artillery shell, or a bunker buster, or a Tomahawk missile. While those weapons are created and owned by this government, they are harmless without people willing to use them. Those who send us to war do not have to pull a trigger or lob a mortar round. They do not have to fight the war, they merely have to sell the war. They need a public who is willing to send their soldiers into harm's way. They need soldiers who are willing to kill and be killed without question. They can spend millions on a single bomb, but that bomb only becomes a weapon when the ranks in the military are willing to follow orders to use it. They can send every last soldier anywhere on earth, but there will only be a war if soldiers are willing to fight. And the ruling class, the billionaires who profit from human suffering, care only about expanding their wealth, controlling the world economy. Understand that their power lies only in their ability to convince us that war, oppression, and exploitation is in our interest. They understand that their wealth is dependent on their ability to convince the working class to die to control the market of another country. And convincing us to kill and die is based on their ability to make us think that we are somehow superior. Soldiers, sailors, Marines, airmen have nothing to gain from this occupation. The vast majority of people living in the U.S. have nothing to gain from this occupation. In fact, not only do we have nothing to gain, but we suffer more because of it. We lose limbs, endure trauma, and give our lives. Our families have to watch flag-draped coffins lowered into the earth. Millions in this country without health care, jobs, or access to education must watch this government squander over $450 million a day on this occupation. Poor and working people in this country are sent to kill poor and working people in another country to make the rich richer. Without racism, soldiers would realize that they have more in common with the Iraqi people than they do with the billionaires who send us to war. I threw families onto the street in Iraq, only to come home and find families thrown onto the street in this country, in this tragic and unnecessary foreclosure crisis. We need to wake up and realize that our real enemies are not in some distant land. They're not people whose names we don't know and cultures we don't understand. The enemy is people we know very well and people we can identify. The enemy is a system that wages war when it's profitable. The enemy is the CEOs who lay us off from our jobs when it's profitable. It's the insurance companies who deny us health care when it's profitable. It's the banks who take away our homes when it's profitable. Our enemy is not 5,000 miles away. They are right here at home. If we organize and fight with our sisters and brothers, we can stop this war, we can stop this government, and we can create a better world.
It is very important to understand when we are talking about Imam of our age, Imam Mahdi alayhi salam, that nothing of the following is enough to bring about a change on its own, as perceived by some. Neither the leader is enough on his own. If that was the case, Imam Sahib al-Zaman is alive. He's present, more than 1200 years old, right? Lives on this earth. And the Islamic government of justice is not happening. Just the leader is not enough, right? Just the law also can never enforce its own self. So law itself is never enough. It cannot self-enforce itself. So neither the leader itself is enough, nor the law itself is enough. Both are necessary components, but both are going to work and sustain for, you know, the long durations if the third factor is available. And that third factor is what is missing today, that we need to focus on, because Imam alayhi salam has nothing to improve. He's the most perfect, you know, and from every aspect. We are the ones who are supposed to improve. What is needed is a widespread insight, why, how we say in Arabic, awareness, ma'rifat, in-depth recognition, realizing of our duties, and practically performing a proactive behavior towards our fara'id, all-inclusive duties, not just individual duties, which are most focused by some religious people, but also the social obligations of Islam, and also the financial obligations of Islam, and also the political obligations, which are most important among the rest, because the political duties make a change in the community. The individual duties never bring about a change for the entire nation. So ma'rifat is the key. This is what we need to focus on, to acquire and have the ma'rifat. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam has said in his hadith, أَئِمَّةُ بَعْدِي إِثْنَ عَشَرْ, the imams after me are 12, تِسْعَةٌ مِّن سُلْبِ الْحُسَيْنِ, 9 are from the lineage of Hussein, وَالتَّاسِعُ قَائِمُهُمْ, and the 9th one is the riser amongst them, فَتُوبَ لِمَنْ أَحَبَّهُمْ, so those who love them deserve to be congratulated. What we need to do is to bring about and inject love of Ahlul Bayt, love of the walayat of Ahlul Bayt in our sons and daughters, so they can take care of the obligation of ma'rifat, because love is something that is a byproduct of ma'rifat. Ma'rifat is first and love comes second. First, we need to realize our responsibility and learn about our all-inclusive duties, and then practice those duties, and our knowledge and practice coupled together brings about the noor of ma'rifat dropped by Allah into our hearts. And that noor of ma'rifat and in-depth recognition of the Imam of the time will in turn bring about the love of Ahlul Bayt alayhim as-salam, which is the asas and foundation of the entire religion Islam. The kulli shayin asas, for everything there's a foundation. The hadith says, wa asasul Islam hubbuna ahlal bayt, And the foundation of Islam is love of us, Ahlul Bayt. Now, in the next slide, Imam Sadiq alayhi salam says, Minna isna ashara mahdiyin, mada sitta, wa baqiya sitta, wa yasna Allahu fi sadis ma'hab. Amongst us are 12 Mahdis. Six of them are gone, six of them are remaining. And Allah is going to do with the sixth one what He loves. I wish the community realized, the humanity realized, to do the same stuff what they will be doing for the 12th one, 12th Imam. They would have done the same thing long ago. The entire humanity would have been living with peace long ago. But that's the abuse of freedoms that humans have done in the name of freedom, democracy, human rights, freedom of speech, freedom of expression, right? Democratizing the Middle East, and so on and so forth, all those sweet sounding labels. We call it euphemism, right? Euphemistic terms used by those politicians. The guy is raging war and wars and wars, and he calls himself Secretary of Defense. Isn't it right? So that's the way it works. So use those terms that are sweet sounding and then do your own stuff. So we definitely disagree with that. And if the humans have performed their obligations towards the first Mahdi, then this job of justice, entire humanity is thirsty to receive the justice, would have been served. That justice would have been served long ago. So there are some positive attributes before I come to the end of my presentation. That a muntazir, a person who is truly awaiting for the Imam, should bring about these changes in his personality. Iman, faith on the walaya of Ahlul Bayt. Iman is defined by how my teacher was saying in his tafsir, is ja'alul mu'taqad fil amn. Placing your belief in a secure place. If that's the case about your faith, then you can claim, I am a mu'min. So no matter what happens in the outside world, I lose my job, you know, I have some illness, I have some different other calamities, problems facing in my life, tests and turmoils by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. No matter what happens in the outside world, as far as my faith goes, that's sound and secure, and nothing is gonna harm my faith. Outside events are not going to impact and derail me from the track. If that's the case, you have zero impact of the outer events on your the strength of your faith. Then you can call yourself to be a mu'min. Ja'alul mu'taqad fil amn. That's the definition of iman. So we need an iman like that. And obviously, akhlaq and morality, everything comes down to our morals. We need to be inspiring the people around us. Lots of people of the Christian community, our Christian neighbors, will convert to the Islam of Ahlul Bayt when they would see Prophet Jesus, son of Virgin Mary, peace be upon both of them. Prophet Jesus coming back from the fourth heaven and praying behind Imam Mahdi alayhi salam, yusalli khalfahu Isa ibn Maryam, how Prophet has prophesied in his hadith. Lots of Christians will convert to the Islam of Ahlul Bayt. So they have what it takes to convert. How many of us are inspiring them with our good morals? How Imam al-Askari alayhi salam says, "Kunu du'atan ila nas bighayri al-sinatikum." Be inviters of the people without your tongues. That means let your actions invite them, let your morals invite them, and taqwa and piety, which is the key to our success. And fourth of all is opposing the Taghuts and Yazids of today. There's people who are, there are some people in our communities, generally speaking, who are willing to oppose the Yazids and Shimmers of yesterday because that doesn't harm their, at least they perceive it like this. According to their perception, they think that condemning the Yazid of yesterday is not going to harm their interests and the dunya that they have piled up and the temporary interests of this material world that they have acquired and finally got attached to it. And for the sake of those material interests, they are compromising over their value system. They perceive if we condemn the Yazids of yesterday, we are okay because he's dead. He can't harm me and my dunya and my material gains and interests. But if I start condemning the Yazids of today, this is where some people perceive they will receive harms on their dunya. Whether at the end of the day they are going to get the harm or not, it's up to Allah. Because we believe that our harm and benefit is entirely in the hands of Allah alone. This is how some people are. They think they will be harmed, right? So they stop condemning the Yazids of today. And thus, they contribute in giving a hard time to the Imam of our time, Imam Mahdi alayhi salam, just like those, some of those in the times of the previous 11 Imams used to give a hard time to those Imams. Did we take a lesson? History is preserved that we take a lesson to improve our future. Ghairat. Ghairat is one of those greatest values of Islam, which has no real translation into the English language. We need to preserve ghairat and that level of dignity and self-respect in ourselves and our children and our youth, so they stand and they don't hesitate to take a stand for the values. Those who don't have the values are talking about values. Why shouldn't we, who have our Prophet and Ahlul Bayt, are the inheritors of the divine value system that they have inherited, they have taken, they have gotten, and the series of all the prophets of God and messengers have been promoting the same values, and our prophet and our imams are the inheritors of those, you know, those previous prophets. They have those Puritan values of Allah in its original, untainted, unimpaired, unpolluted form. That's what Imam Khomeini Ridwanullah Alayhi used to say, you know, our Islam is al-Islam al-Muhammadiyul Asil, sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam, the pure Muhammadan Islam. And then we have some negative attributes. Yeah, but before I go to the negative attributes and then I come to the end of my speech, one of the great martyrs from the Islamic world says, I went to Imam Khomeini, kunna inda Sayyid al-Imam Ridwanullah alayhi, faqulna lahu Sayyidna, ma huwa taklifuna wal muta'addadat al-jinsiyat ala ardina. We went to Imam Khomeini, he says, and we asked him, our leader, you let us know what's our responsibility towards the multinational forces occupying our land. قَالَ لَنَا عَبَارَ مُخْتَصَرًا. He said a short statement to us. مَرْحَلَتُكُمْ كَرْبَلَائِيَّ. You people are in the Kerbalaic stage. Look at the beautiful statement. Each word, each sentence is a golden sentence. And these are tips based on knowledge and wisdom. So, مَرْحَلَتُكُمْ كَرْبَلَائِيَّ انْتَلِقُوا مِنْ نُقْطَةِ الصِّفْرِ. Start your efforts from the scratch. انْتَلِقُوا مِنَ الْمَسَاجِدِ. Start your activities, your efforts from the masjids. لَا تَتَوَقَّوْا قَطْفَ الثِّمَارِ فِي حَيَاتِكُمْ. Don't expect picking up the fruits of your efforts in your lifetime. There are some people who make haste. They want the results right now, then and there. That's not going to happen. You never find Imam Hussein as salam praying to Allah, oh Allah, kill Yazid. You can never find in any narration that Imam Hussein said that, or Sayyidah Zainab alayhi salam said that, or Imam al-Sajjad alayhi salam said that. Never. Allah's wisdom says Yazid should remain for two more years for the sake of Allah's absolute wisdom, for his own reasons. Who are we to interfere in the divine wisdom? Imam Hussain never interfered, never asked Allah to kill Yazid. If he had, Allah would have definitely killed that criminal. This is about the ma'rifat, right? So لا تتوقعوا قطف الثمار في حياتكم. Don't expect bearing the fruits of your efforts in your own lifetime. اترك الأجيال هي تقطف الثمار. Let the later generations bear the fruits of your efforts. The problem with some communities is the masjids that they are running, the Husayniyas that they are running, the situation in the masjids is upside down. Unless and until, if we are serious to be awaiters of Imam alayhi salam, the Islamic activity starts right from the masjid. Prophet brought about the first Islamic government of justice from Masjidun Nabi. Masjid of the Prophet, right? Unless and until we make sure the foundations of our masjid and Husayniyah is on the Islamic value system and the concepts that have been taught by the Prophet and Ahlul Bayt and the Holy Quran, you can never expect any significant change taking place in the community. First things first, masjids need to be corrected. It should be set free from the slavery of some of those hands and some of those influential lobbies and some of those rich people and some of those loud mouths and some of those influential people who try to exercise their personal policies in the presence of the policy of Quran. We will never excel. If you find an Islamic Iran, if you find an Islamic Iran and in Lebanon, two Shia communities who are spiritually leading in the Muslim world, you find the scholars were never subordinates. That's why the change happened. Let's go to the negative attributes. Some people have put their dunya and the material interest first and the value second. In some people households, Islam, you go into the houses, you get the feel. Islam is not ruling over the house. The ruler of the house is not the value system of Islam. It's their material interests. That's the way some people are. They don't have Nidhamul Walaya, the system of the Walayat governing their house. And that ends up in the situation where you find some of the parents are scared from their kids, right? Nidhamul Walaya is upside down. So, more cultural than religious. There are some centers who invite for the veggie mullahs. Vegetarian mullahs and hazard dropouts and those half-baked mullahs never completed their education, right? Invited frequently, and obviously there's disinformation flowing in the place of information, and it makes the job of the scholars and the qualified graduates more difficult because they need to first undo the disinformation spread, in some cases by battling against it, and then replace those disinformations with informations. So these people are making the job tougher and harder for the qualified scholars in ways that people don't realize. But that's what they're doing. Our ignorance is our own biggest enemy, right? So we need to stop harming our own selves. And our fasiq and transgressor, people who don't practice Islam in their own personal lives, they are into the harams, they don't avoid the harams of various types, damaging their spirituality and thus making themselves ineligible to become an awaiter of the Imam. Ninth of all, sympathizing, having the sympathies towards the taghut and the oppressors. Our beautiful religion doesn't allow us to even support any oppressor to the least possible level you may think of. So any kind of sympathy in the heart is also going to count you along with the oppressor and resurrect you on the day of judgment along with those oppressors, which we can't do that, we can't support, and we can't even sympathize. Tenth of all, separating religion from politics, which is one of the most worst things done by the Umayyads, who are actually the key players in separating religion from politics. And those people who are separating religion from politics today are making, knowingly or unknowingly, making the agenda of Banu Umayya successful even today, unfortunately. Whether you are into the politics or not, politics is bound to play a role in your life, right? So you better be involved instead of not getting involved, because even if you ignore it, politics is not going to be irrelevant. It will definitely be relevant to your lives, and everything that the politicians are doing is going to have every impact on your life. And specifically, we are talking about the divine politics of justice. And the 11th attribute is staying silent over the atrocities of the Takfiris, and silent over the atrocities of the sponsors of the Takfiris. There are some people in our community who are ready to raise their voice against the Ahl-e Saud, who are engaged in almost every crime, almost every major crime in the Islamic Ummah. You find the hands of Ahl-e Saud behind that, but Ahl-e Saud cannot survive for a week without the global Zionist lobby supporting them. And it is sad to see that there are some people who condemn the Ahl-e Saud, which they deserve to be condemned, but when it comes to the sponsors of Ahl-e Saud, they are silent. Those people who are sustaining Ahl-e Saud to be Ahl-e Saud, some people are not talking about their sponsors and sustainers, which is again the Islam of convenience. Before I come to the end of my speech, I would like to, mention this short hadith from Imam al-Sadiq alayhi salam, where he says, "Man sarrahu an yakuna min ashab al-Qa'im." If it pleases someone to be one of the companions of Imam al-Qa'im alayhi salam, "Falyantazir wal ya'mal bil wara' wa mahasin al-akhlaq." He must wait, be an awaiter, and keep away, abstain from getting attached with this world, and acquire the high moral attributes, the good moral attributes. وَهُوَ مُنْتَظِرٌ. If he's awaiting, فَإِنْ مَاتَ وَقَامَ الْقَائِمْ بَعْدَهُ. And Imam al-Qa'im rises after him. كَانَ لَهُ مِنَ الْأَجْرِ مِثْلَ أَجْرِ مَنْ أَدْرَكَهُ. He's going to get the reward just like the person who found the Imam. فَجِدُّ وَانْتَظِرُوا هَنِيئًا لَكُمْ أَيَّتُهَا الْعِصَابَةُ الْمَرْحُومَ. So seriously, work hard, be serious and work hard, and owe you the group who deserves the blessing from Allah. May Allah make it blessed for you. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Thank you very much.